Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and the Christian's identification with Jesus Christ. You can find this study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Abideinchrist.com, go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Romans chapter 6, the Christian's identification with Christ. Christianity is Christ. And the Christian life is Christ living His life in and through the believer. The life of Christ is reproduced in the child of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, it is a new life with new relationships. It has new source, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ is our life, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus told His disciples, abide in Me and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. John chapter 15, verse 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 gives us a great principle on living the Christian life. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we reckon on something, we accept it as an accomplished fact. Paul again refers to this identification with Christ in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Paul died to the law and was crucified with Christ. He often uses the idea of dying with Christ in Galatians and Romans and Colossians, and to be buried with Christ. A.T. Robertson said, so complete has become Paul's identification with Christ that his separate personality is merged into that of Christ. This language helps one to understand the victorious cry in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. It is the union of the vine and the branch. We have learned from Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that God's goal for His believers is the conformity of our character to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Everything that God does in our lives happens to focus on that one supreme purpose. God has selected beforehand the goal that everyone who believes on Christ will be conformed to His likeness. God's primary concern in our character, functioning the way that He intends us to function, that is, Christ-like. And He will not give up on that goal. He will keep at it until the day we stand complete in Him. God the Holy Spirit takes our personalities and works in us to produce character that is loving and full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Are we going to be a bunch of robots running around in heaven? No, of course not. We all have different personalities. He desires that we have the characteristics that make Jesus so magnificent and wonderful. God's goal was that Jesus should be the firstborn among many, just like Him. What a wonderful place heaven will be. Not all of this is new for you who have been walking with Christ for some time. It's just biblical theology of Christian living. It's living the Christian life by grace through faith. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ. You live it by grace through faith in Him. And this new position we have in Christ is a vital union with Him. We're now identified with Christ. It is an intimate love relationship with Christ brought about by the regeneration by the Holy Spirit in our hearts the very moment we believed on Christ as our Savior. We are new creatures in Christ. And this new relationship with Christ has been called by many terms such as the exchanged life, the higher life, crucified life, deeper life, abiding life, the Spirit-filled or Spirit-controlled life, the victorious life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the identification with Christ, faith, rest, life, etc., etc. What all of these are saying is we have a new position in Christ Jesus. It's the result of God's free grace the moment we believed on Him as our Savior. Now that we belong to Jesus Christ, He has provided us a life of spiritual power, depth, victory, that's available to all believers. It's not found in some emotional religious experience, but is a daily, moment-by-moment walk by faith in my eternal position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look for a moment at what it's not. What I'm not seeing is summed up in quite well by a statement by the Exchange Life of Texas staff. It's not a new teaching. It's not sinless perfection. It's not a life of passivity. It's not self-help teaching. It's not an undisciplined life. It's not a second work of grace. It's not a counseling technique. It's not an improved old man. It's not in any way deifying a man. It's not instant change in behavior. It's not a formula for self to imitate Christ. It's not peace through the change of circumstances. It's not dying to self or wiping out your personality. It's not a guarantee that circumstances will improve. It's not overlooking or approving sinful behavior, promoting license. It's not a guarantee that emotions will line up consistently with truth. However, the very moment we believe on Christ as our personal Savior, we were baptized by the Holy Spirit and we were placed in the body of Jesus Christ. And being members of the body of Christ, everything that is true of the head is true of each member of His body. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, God the Holy Spirit took up residence in our body and made it His holy temple. The word baptized means to dip or to plunge, to immerse. It was a word that was used to describe the fuller who dyed his wool in a dye vat. I can illustrate by taking this beautiful new white shirt and dipping it or immersing it in a pan of red dye. And when I pull it out of the pan of red dye, it's no longer identified as a white shirt. It is no longer a white shirt. It has completely new identity. It has changed its identity. It's a red shirt. And the believer who put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior has a new identity when he was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And our identity was changed by a union with Christ. We are now identified as Christians. We are members of Christ. We're no longer the old Adam's family. We have a new family with new identity. Christ is the head of our new family. One of the most beautiful pictures of identification is found in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. The high priest killed a goat and offered him as a sin offering. He took another goat that is called the scapegoat. And Aaron laid both his hands on the head of the live goat and confessed all the iniquities of the children of Israel. The idea is all their sins were identified with the live goat. The sin bearer had identified himself with the sins of the people, and he was then led out into the wilderness bearing the sin of the people. The goat was led out to die for the sins of the people of Israel. Jesus Christ has made His identification with us as our sin bearer. And He so identified Himself with us that when we confessed our sins to Him, He took those sins with Him to the cross and died as our substitute on the cross. He was my sin bearer, dying in my place on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And when we believed on Christ as our personal Savior, all our sins were placed on him, and he died and was reckoned as our death. He was so identified with me that God accepted his death as my death. And when the Holy Spirit baptizes us, we were identified with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification. An intimate relationship or union was formed with Christ, and we became identified with him. Our water baptism symbolizes this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which has already taken place when we believed on Christ. And when we stepped into the pool of water, it was the old life that was symbolically buried with Christ, and a new person with a new identity was raised up out of that water. The believer has taken on a new identification with a new identifier. The water identifies the person who was baptized. He's wet from head to toe, and we now have a spiritual union with Jesus Christ. We have become identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're identified with Christ in his crucifixion. All of our needs as sinners have been fully provided in the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ paid our sin debt. He died to set us free from our spiritual death. Identification with Christ was so clear in the Apostle Paul's mind that he could write, "I have been crucified with Christ." I was so united with Christ and identified with him that when Jesus died, I died also. I was co-crucified with Christ. And when Christ died, we died with him. When did we die? To sin? Romans chapter 6 verse 2 tells us, "How then shall we who died to sin still live in it?" It's past tense. We died to sin when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 tells us, "Or do you not know how that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, and so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." The water baptism is a magnificent picture or symbol of what took place when Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. It's also a unique picture of our union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Christ's death was a real death. And by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were baptized into Christ, and we were also baptized into his death. How does God view us as born-again believers? God sees us as crucified dead, and in his sight we are crucified, nailed to the cross. Spiritually, you are there with Christ, and Christ broke sin's power over you. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ." And this is a fact we as believers are to accept. We are identified with Christ in his crucifixion. And Paul uses perfect tense of a word meaning to crucify together. Paul has in mind that specific past completed event that marked his identification with Christ, and that event had an enduring present effect upon his life. Paul is demonstrating his identification with Christ at the cross was a past fact. There were certain spiritual benefits that came to him through his identification with Christ. When Jesus died, we died together with him. And when Christ rose from the dead, we rose with him. And when Christ ascended to heaven, we ascended with him, are now seated with him in the heavenly places. Our identification with Christ includes the crucifixion with Him, burial with Him, and our resurrection, ascension, and glorification with Christ. Our identification with Christ is so complete that God reckons us as having experienced co-crucifixion, co-burial, co-resurrection, co-ascension, co-glorification. And this is the way God sees us. Then should we not see ourselves in the same manner? How can it be that I have been crucified with Christ when He died 2,000 years ago, Will? How can you claim this identification with Christ? It is the Christ event. We need to keep in mind two things: Jesus' person and our identification with Him. Jesus Christ is alive today, risen from the dead, real. And after He died for our sins, He rose from the dead and resumed bodily life for all eternity. He re-entered heaven's glory by the ascension. And these are historical facts. He remains in attitudes, character, and interest just what He was in the Gospels. He hasn't changed. He's the same forever. And it still demands that He be our Savior and Lord. There's also the transhistorical fact in which Jesus is not bound by space and time. The Christ event can touch and involve each one of us at any time, anywhere. Faith in Christ involves that Christ event. In reality, every believer has actually died and risen and now lives and reigns with Christ. Even though we are dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. We are trophies of God's grace. Jesus not only justifies us by faith, but He identifies Himself so with us that we are intimately involved in His dying, His rising, and His reigning. The result is a joyful fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is the way you live the Christian life from day to day. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, Paul says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 2:19, "For through the law I died to the law, and so that I might live to God." Romans chapter 7, verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, and so that you might be joined to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." How many times do you have to die? Only once. Paul doesn't say to put ourselves to death over and over again. It's not something we do. It's what God does. And we cannot add any value to it by doing it over and over again. When you died with Christ, it was a once and for all death. We're not told to crucify ourselves over and over again to make ourselves free. The effect of that one crucifixion with Jesus Christ is all sufficient. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, "Even so consider, reckon, be constantly counting upon the fact yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ." Paul is very, very clear when he states that. Consider this, reckon upon this fact, be constantly counting upon the fact yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Take a long, contemplative look at yourself as one who is dead. Sin's authority has been broken because Christ died, you died. And God tells us to accept His judgment on our sin nature. And when Christ rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Because you are alive in Christ, you have been set free to walk in the newness of life under the control of the Holy Spirit. You no longer have to obey sin. You are free to yield to the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, and so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Was crucified with him, Paul says. And this death did not take place at baptism, but it's pictured in our baptism. It took place when we died to sin. We're admonished by the Apostle Paul to put off the old man and put on the new man. Why? Because the putting off of the old man is death, and putting on is the resurrection. We are so identified with Jesus Christ and his death that when Christ died, we died. And because we died with Christ, we're no longer obligated to serve the old sin master. And Paul says, for he who has died is free from sin. You're no longer under the obligation to obey sin when it tempts you. The power of sin nature over us was broken when Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was not eliminated. It was not eradicated. It was not rendered incapable of touching us. It does not make us incapable of sinning. However, it does set us free from the mandatory obedience to sin nature as a slave. We are no longer slaves to our sin nature. Dead men are no longer slaves. In Romans chapter 7, Paul uses an illustration of the marriage. The law operates as long as the two partners are alive. However, it is terminated when one of the two parties dies. And therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, and so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Who died? I died. Who is free to marry a new suitor? I am. He's not talking of a physical death, but a spiritual death through our vital union with Jesus Christ. The sin nature that operated within us was broken when the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Jesus Christ. The power of sin was terminated. It could no longer condemn us. We are dead to its laws. It no longer has any legal authority over us. We've been set free from the obligation to serve the sin nature by our co-death with Jesus Christ. And just as a wife is no longer obligated to her deceased husband, so we are no longer obligated to serve the sin nature because we have died with Christ. And Paul makes it emphatically clear that there is only one thing that can break sin's control over us. When Jesus Christ died, you, a believer in Jesus Christ, died with him. The co-death with Jesus broke sin's control over you. And in our spiritual slavery to sin, we had no power to break its power and control over us. And since we are dead through his death, sin no longer has dominion over us. And by his death, we have been freed from the obligation to serve sin. It's no longer our master. We can now say, no, you will not be my master. And if you now sin, it's a choice that you make. You can be as holy as you choose to be. What do you say when Satan raises his ugly finger at you and says, you're condemned? Who do you think you are, saying you're a Christian? Look at all of these sins you've committed. Do you come back at him with a clear declaration of faith in Jesus Christ, saying, yes, but I died when Christ died for my sins on the cross. I put all my hope and trust in the cross of Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death for me. Christ died for my sins, and you have no authority over me. This becomes one of the greatest joys in the Christian life. Not only were we crucified with Christ, but we were buried with Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, and so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory to the Father, so we too might walk in this newness of life. We are identified with Christ and his resurrection. And this is the power we have to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, and so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What a beautiful picture the water baptism is, of the symbol of the picture of the believer rising to new life in Jesus Christ. We were identified as living members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by being baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We have this new power to live the Christian life. We were not saved and then just turned loose to live any way we wanted to. By faith, we participate in the life of Christ. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in the newness of life. And those united with Christ, the apostle teaches, so as to be partakers of his death, are partakers also of his resurrection life. Because I live, you too shall live, he tells us. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Christ in us. It is not we that live, but Christ lives his life in us. And our Lord illustrates this vital union in terms of the vine and the branches. And as the life of the vine is diffused through the branches, so as they live only as connected to the vine, so the life of Christ is diffused through his people. And they are partakers of the spiritual and eternal life only in virtue of their union with Jesus Christ. And now that we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Not just the day when we die and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, or the day when he comes back and we have fresh, new resurrection bodies. He's talking about the power to live the Christian life even right now, today. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What? We have this new life in Christ. And Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We have this new life in Jesus Christ. We are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the resurrection life. This is the life we live today because Christ gives us his resurrection power to live every day a new life empowered by the resurrection. Christ lives his life in and through us. And the Holy Spirit now has freedom to take control of our lives and reproduce Jesus Christ. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility to yield the control to the Holy Spirit and let Christ live his life in and through us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts, our words, our behaviors, our attitudes, we allow Christ to live in us, and we begin to be like him. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.